I picked an encouraging book, and when you hear the name of it, you're going to say to yourselves, what? Not that book, but it's very encouraging. And by the way, we will get back in 1 Samuel for a little bit longer here, beginning next week. I've got a couple more messages there. You might not remember, but we started out doing the life of Samuel, and we kind of digress into the life of David and Saul. But we're going to finish up the life of Samuel and start something new here at the end of January. But this morning, for the last day of the year, open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. I hope you have some familiarity with the prophet named Jeremiah. You know, sometimes we try to compare our ministries to other people. You might ask yourself, what would it have been like to have the ministry of Noah, who preached for 120 years and only reached his family? Or you might ask yourself, what would it be like to have the ministry of Paul and to be persecuted and pursued by the Jews, and at every turn they're trying to kill you, And all you're trying to do is preach the gospel and keep him out of hell. Maybe the ministry of Daniel, who was a very wise man and tremendous prophecy, but lived his entire life in captivity. And if you look at any of the men of God in the Bible, they all went through trials. Don't be surprised when you have to go through trials when you serve God. Amen? But I've got to say, I probably would have preferred not to have the ministry of Jeremiah. When God came to Jeremiah, God pretty much told him, what you preach is not going to be received. What you say is not going to be listened to. And in fact, in the very first chapter of Jeremiah, God promised him that there was going to be an invading nation come from the north, and they were going to take Israel captive. And Jeremiah was preaching right there in that time period, telling the people, repent, 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 but knowing that God had already promised judgment was coming and that probably what he was saying wasn't going to make any difference. It is frustrating when you preach and it doesn't make any difference. Jeremiah had a hard life. Jeremiah suffered physically. Jeremiah suffered emotionally. He lost his wife, and he was persecuted by the very people he was trying to help. And Jeremiah is a very personal book in that way. When you come to the end of Jeremiah, you find the book of Lamentations. And of course, we know the word lament. It means to be sorry about something or to feel sorrow, to feel a disturbance because of what has happened. And Jeremiah in Lamentations is lamenting the judgment of God, the suffering that resulted because the people wouldn't repent. But in the middle of Jeremiah chapter 3, and I won't read the entire chapter for the sake of time, but it begins, Jeremiah chapter 3 begins with a list of calamities that had fallen upon the people, different kinds of suffering that they were enduring. And they were in a bad situation. They were suffering in many different ways. But then, let me show you something that you begin to see in verse 21. And we'll stand in for the reading in just a minute. But before we do, he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He says in verse 24, therefore will I hope. He says in verse 29, if so be, there may be hope. We recently had a president that used that word hope as a part of his introduction of his ideology, which did not bring hope, I'm sorry to say, because he did not honor God with his presidency. But there's a source of hope here in Lamentations chapter 3 that is legitimate. In the midst of suffering, folks, there can be hope. In the midst of total loss, when it looks like there's no reason to be optimistic, because of God, there's hope. And we're going to look at that this morning as an introduction to our new year, finishing the old one, looking into the new. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'd like to read Lamentations chapter 3. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently in verses 21 through 36. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you. We're beside ourselves with the thought that we can come before the throne of grace as a local, blood-washed, independent Baptist church, and we can come before you and we can raise our petition to you today. And Lord, our petition, first of all, is that you would speak to us very clearly this morning through the Word of God. Lord, that you would guide and direct us now as we look into this passage for a few moments, and Lord, that you'd use the Word of God to impress upon us what you would have us to say and to think and to do. Lord, we pray that there are many folks this morning that are ill, we pray that you would care for them and deal with their illnesses. We think of folks like Michelle Sussman and the Dahlmans that are out with illness today. Lord, we also consider folks that are waiting for you to deliver, and we just pray again that you'd care for them. Many folks today, even as Brenda White this morning told us, that even though she wouldn't be able to be in the house of God, that she'd still be in the Word of God. And I pray you'd be a blessing to them while they're away from us. Lord, I pray now that this morning that somebody here, some soul, would hear exactly what they need to hear from the Word of God today. Lord, in a day when we look around us and the world seems to be falling apart, we realize that you have a plan. And we also realize that our hope does not depend upon the condition of the world or even the condition of the people around us, but it depends only upon you and your character and your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that we can depend upon that. And Lord, now we just trust that you would give us an extra portion of encouragement this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We probably couldn't imagine what it would be like to live in the day in which Lamentations was written. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The people had been taken captive. And many of the people that would have been alive in this day would have had loved ones, sons and daughters, parents, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, and so on, that had died as a consequence of this captivity. It was a horrible event. And those that hadn't died, that were well-bodied, had been taken off in captivity to be slaves and to serve those who had conquered them. The people that were left in Jerusalem were the frail and those that were of no use to the conquerors. But interestingly enough, and I keep wanting to go back and talk about Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But interestingly enough, after all Jeremiah had been through, when the time came for the captivity to take place, the conquerors came to Jeremiah And God did this, by the way. And the conquering nation said to Jeremiah, well, what do you want to do? You want to go with us or do you want to stay here? And Jeremiah stayed there in Jerusalem. We really don't know exactly how his life ended, but we do know that after that captivity, there was one event to where many of the people went to Egypt, and apparently Jeremiah went with them for a while. After that, we're not quite sure what happened to him. But a very, very dark day, something you and I have not known. It's beyond just, you know, being a little bit short on money or beyond having some health issues. This is total destruction. These people look around and they see Jerusalem, what's left of it, and they see the destroyed temple and they see the vacant houses and they see the empty streets and they see all the destruction, and they have to say to themselves, we brought this on ourselves by disobeying God. It is just as discouraging as you can imagine. It's somewhat similar, perhaps, to the discouragement Job would have experienced after having lost everything. But it's even worse than that, because Job, in his suffering, wasn't suffering because of his own sin. He was suffering because he loved God. And that's something that you can handle. But these people are suffering because they disobeyed God. And they turned to idols and God judged them. They have nothing positive to see as they look around. And so I could ask it this way, what on earth is this all about that they could say here, Jeremiah in chapter 3 and verse 21 could say that I have hope? Where's that hope going to come from? You know, when you and I look at the people around us, sometimes they're discouraging because they won't serve God or they don't love God or they're not faithful to God. Sometimes we look around at people that ought to even know better and we see that and it causes us to lose hope. We look at our nation. We look at the laws. I was discouraged to read within the last few days of another situation to where some wicked people won a court settlement against some people that simply wanted to stand up and say, homosexuality is wrong. And the court said, well, if you feel that way, you need to pay these people $100,000+ in damages. There are suffering, there are occurrences of suffering today that take place that cause us to lose hope. But folks, and you hear me refer to this an awful lot, so just bear with me one more time. But when Peter was walking on the water, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, for as long as he kept his eyes upon Jesus, his steps were sure. And he walked on, he did the impossible. You can't walk on water. Try it sometime. He had his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as long as he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, his steps were sure. The minute he noticed the wind and the waves and took his eyes off the Lord and got to looking at the circumstances, that's when he began to sink. The Lord doesn't want us to sink, amen? The Lord reached down and pulled Peter up out of the water. Where the Lord is, there is security. Where the Lord is, there is hope. And it just really doesn't matter what you can see. What matters is keeping your eyes on God. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how God's going to do it. The Bible says, for example, that in the last days that the love of many shall wax cold. The Bible, the Lord asked the question, when the Lord returns, shall he find faith on the earth? It's not surprising that as the song was just reiterating, that churches in many cases are not growing, they're shrinking, they're disappearing. That people that once served God don't serve him anymore. People that used to be faithful every Sunday aren't faithful anymore. And that progress that used to be made for the cause of Christ isn't being made anymore. And none of that is surprising when you look at the world around us, but those are just circumstances. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's look at some reasons that we can have hope here. I won't be long, but first of all, I direct your attention back into verse 21 and verse 22. He says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind. And I'll tell you what that is here in just a moment. Therefore have I hope. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You believe the word of God, amen? So when God says it, that settles it, amen? So he says there in verse 22 that the Lord is merciful. And he says that the Lord in verse 22, the Lord is compassionate. And he says in verse 23 that the Lord is faithful. And you might ask yourself, well, why would he be that way? Why would he be merciful? Why would he be compassionate? Why would he be faithful? I don't deserve that, you might say. We don't deserve that, that God would be that great to us. But folks, it doesn't depend upon what we deserve. That's just who God is. That is the character of God, to be merciful and compassionate and faithful. Tonight in the evening service, I'm going to look at the effect of compassion upon circumstances in Exodus chapter 2. And you're going to see that, that the compassion of one person changed everything. But folks, the compassion of one person changed everything because the Lord Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners, died for the ungodly. And his compassion changed everything. And the Lord's mercy endures forever. In fact, the Bible says his mercy is new every morning. When you woke up this morning, you got a brand new dose of mercy from God. What does that mean? That means God is forgiving. That means God is willing to forgive. God wants what's best for you, and he is willing to forgive you for your sins. In fact, the Bible says that God's mercy is so great that sometimes he gives us space to repent. We mistake that and sometimes think that it means he doesn't care about our sin. He does care about our sin, but before he punishes us, he gives us the opportunity to do what's right. Why should we have hope? Well, because of the character of God, because of his mercy, because of his compassion, because of his faithfulness. There is every reason to be hopeful because of who God is. And you might say, well, nobody seems to care about that anymore. Have you not read in the Bible, there are many instances to where one person, just one person in the midst of a complete disaster, sees the blessings of God. You know, in Joseph's day, we looked at the life of Joseph a while back. He really didn't have anybody to lean on, did he? His brothers weren't there for him. His parents weren't there for him. When he was in Egypt, nobody there took care of him. How can somebody like Joseph, when nobody else is on his side, come out on top? God. Amen? Just encourage you a little bit this morning. Sometimes it can be discouraging to look around and see other people falling by the wayside and dropping out of God's service and not doing what they ought to do. That's okay. Just keep serving God. And the Bible says when the time is right, he'll let that remnant be known. There is a remnant, the Bible talks about, of those that do serve God. It may be hard to see them right now, but they're out there. God's character is one of the reasons that we have hope. There's a second thing here that I can see. He says in verse 24, now think about this just a minute. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Might want to let that digest just a little bit. The Lord is my portion. Probably when we ask the question, do you have hope? The next question is, hope in what? You know, there are some people that hope to be rich. The Bible says that those kind of folks are going to suffer. If your goal in life is to be rich, you got a bad goal. It's not a goal that's going to make you happy in the end. In fact, it's a goal that's going to bring you suffering. There are some folks that have hope in success. They want to be famous or they want to be well-liked by other people. And those are interesting goals. But I like what Jeremiah says, and it's good advice for you and I in verse 24. He says, the Lord is my portion. Folks, the Lord is our hope. What do we hope for? That's a key to having hope. If your hope is in this world, it's not going to turn out good. If your hope is in, like I said before, what you can see in terms of circumstances, that may or may not turn out very good. But here is a good type of hope. My hope is that God's will be done. In fact, I'm commanded to pray that way every day. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord is my portion. In other words, what do you want? You know, we just had Thanksgiving dinner, and as if that wasn't enough, now we're going to have, last week we had Christmas dinner, and just got to get one more in. So next Monday, tomorrow, we have New Year's dinner, and then we go diet for 6 months and try to get back to where we started from. But I remember on Christmas Day, we had a turkey, and so there's that big plate of meat out there in the middle of the table, and I thought to myself, I want some of that. And I got some turkey. And then there was some dressing. I want some of that. And I got some dressing. And I won't go through the whole menu, but I chose some things I wanted for myself. What do you want for yourself? The Bible says in the Psalms, it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Let me tell you this. If you want the Lord, God will satisfy you. If you want the world, you won't find satisfaction. If you want the applause of men, or if you want the things that the world has to offer, if you want to satisfy the flesh, you will not find satisfaction. But when you desire the Lord, in the Psalms, David made a statement by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, open thy mouth wide, God speaking, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. God can satisfy you if you're looking for him. In 2018, if your goal is the will of God, what can I do to please the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me? He loves me, and I love him, and I want to do what pleases him, and I want to draw closer to him, and I want to be a blessing to him, and I want him to use me however he sees fit. Folks, there's hope in that. And somebody says, well, what about me? I learned a long time ago, God can take better care of me than I can take care of me. God knows more what I need than I know what I need. God knows better how to make me happy than I know how to make me happy. And when I submit myself to God's will, that's when I find satisfaction. That's when I find contentment. That's when I find peace. And that's the only place I can find it. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she had tried everything looking for the satisfaction is the word I will use. She was trying to quench her thirst. And that's that picture in John chapter 4. She came to the well to quench her thirst. And Jesus said, if you knew who I am and the gift of God, he said, you'd ask of me, I could give you living water, you'd never thirst again. When she finally realized what he was saying, she left her water pot and she went to the people in the city and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She finally found satisfaction. There's hope when your hope is in the right thing. And that right thing is in God and in his will. He goes on in verse 25 and he says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good, verse 26, that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, here's another thing that you can see that will help you to have hope. And that is, and I know it's not a popular idea, I know it's not a word that we really enjoy having to use, but we have to be patient. God will do things in his time, not in ours. He says, it is good. He says, what's good? He says that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, put this in Jeremiah's perspective. Jeremiah's looking out on devastation. Jeremiah's looking out on the remnant of the people that have been left behind and the consequences of God's judgment and nothing good to see. And I'll just pick a day here of somewhere in the 580 BC time frame. So he's still over 70 years away from the rebuilding of the temple and really over 500 years away from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah in his lifetime never saw any of that. But Jeremiah knew something. God's not finished yet. What would it take for you and I to believe that in our life? God may use you to do something extraordinary, or God may use you to win one soul. I hope there's more, by the way, but he may use you to win one soul that then does something extraordinary. He may just put you in the right place at the right time. There are some characters in the New Testament that were just in the right place at the right time when Paul came from the road to Damascus and was being prepared by God to do a great work. And these men, they didn't do any monumental things as far as the world is concerned, but they prepared Paul to do some monumental things. If God was just to use you and I to pave the way for what comes next, that would still be wonderful. In other words, a little thing, when God is in it, becomes a big thing. God uses us in ways that we may never understand. Jeremiah didn't ever experience the changes, but he said, I know this, God's not finished yet. I'm going to wait patiently for him. Let's look at one more, and we'll be done. So he goes into verse 27, and he says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Interesting language here. It says, he sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. And what I see in verse 27 and verse 28 is someone with strength who is laboring. Now, many of us here today have come to that point in our life to where we would no longer describe ourselves as being in our youth. I'm learning as I grow older that getting old is no fun. I'm tired of being tired. You know what I'm saying? But there's some folks here that are younger that have strength left. And the truth of the matter is, even the oldest of us still have strength to serve God. And so he says here in verse 27, or verse 32, 27, he says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke. In other words, just keep on working. There's work to be done. Amen? Now let me see real practical here for a minute. There are many tasks, small and large, that go into the effort that our church puts forth. Our church's goal is to preach the gospel, to reach the world with the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. We want to do that here in our Jerusalem, and we want to do it throughout the whole world. We want to send out missionaries. We want to do it locally. That's our goal. But there are a lot of things that we do that support that goal. I've had for some weeks now an entry in the bulletin, we'd like to have somebody, this is an opportunity, somebody to say, I can take two roadside signs, put them out on Friday night or Saturday morning and bring them back in on Sunday night every week. It's not a complicated task. I've done it myself on many occasions. There's some other folks here that have done it almost every week. And it's just something you can do to serve God. You say, but Pastor, it's just a little bit of physical labor. I know that, but when someone drives by that sign and sees Vision Baptist Church with an arrow pointing this away, that could bring someone to our church. Now, we recently found out that God can use a lot of ways to get people to church, like a car accident. And we had somebody here last Sunday, and the reason they were here is because the son ran into the back of my car, and they came to visit our church. Praise the Lord. But little things that you do like that can add up to be some big things. We just need some folks that will work. We need some ladies that would serve in the nursery. Sometimes we have trouble staffing our nursery because we don't have enough workers sometimes. It's not a complicated thing. It's not something that's going to reach 1,000 souls for Christ in a faraway land, but it's part of what we do. Amen? And he says it here plainly, just in case you didn't catch it. Let's read it one more time. He says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence. He hath borne it upon him. Just keep on working. Amen? Now here's where I'm going with this. God rewards our labors. Does that make sense? You say, I don't see that. You will. Shame on me, shame on any of us, if we don't think God rewards our labors. Why would I have hope? Because I'm going to keep on being faithful to God. Amen? I'm going to keep being faithful to God even when I can't see that it makes any difference. I'm going to keep being faithful to God even when it looks like all is lost. I'm going to keep on serving God with the strength that God gave me, whether or not any result is evident, but I know something. In God, there is hope. Don't quit. Don't quit. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. The devil knows that, and so he's going to spend a lot of time trying to get you and I to faint. You say, Pastor, I've been working hard. I don't see any results. That's okay. Neither did Joseph for an awful long time. By the way, neither did Jeremiah for an awful long time. But Jeremiah himself said, I have hope. Let's read the rest of this and we'll be done. Look at verse 29. He says, he putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be, there may be hope. And what he's saying there is that this man is struggling and it's a dry place, and he doesn't seem to even have his thirst quenched, but he's going to keep on trying anyway. And then it just goes on and talks about that. He gives his cheek to him that smiteth him. He's filled full of reproach. In other words, people are mocking him, but he's not going to quit. Folks, I hope our church doesn't quit. Amen? If we won't quit, there is hope. Let's just keep on going. And listen, when it happens, when whatever blessing that God sends our way, when it comes, it won't be because of what we did. It'll be because of God. I love that aspect of the ministry. We knocked thousands of doors in 2017. Mr. Hickson and I knocked a majority of them. And that's fine. Praise God. And out of those doors, as near as I can tell right now, we have one lady visiting our church on a regular basis because of that. Well, that doesn't include about 20 people that prayed and asked Christ to save them. And I'll tell you this, when you go and you work in this field over here, if God chooses to bless this field over here, praise God, it's His blessing. We keep on serving. Say, I don't see any hope, Pastor, I don't see any reason. That's because you're not looking at God. God's going to do that. So here's Jeremiah in all these dismal circumstances, and he says, I have hope. He says, I hope in Him. He says, I quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It says that we're going to keep on laboring because there may be hope. He remembers the Lord's mercies and His faithfulness. He directs his hope towards God. He knows God is good to those who seek Him, and he's patient. He's waiting for the Lord. He knows that there's toil to be had, and he knows that God does not cast off forever, verse 31, but that His compassion and His mercy is not going to fail, and that the Lord in the end is not going to subvert him in verse 36, but He's going to bless him. Why would we have hope in 2018? Because of God. Not because of the circumstances, not because of the people around us maybe, not because of anything that we can see. We have hope because of God. And I think I know just about everyone here today, but I'd mention very importantly one last time, the greatest hope that you can have, understand this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That the Bible makes it very clear that the gospel is that Christ died for your sins and for mine. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go to a church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And as I was growing up, this church, people would come forward and get saved. And I wasn't quite sure what that was all about. And then one day God spoke to my heart. And I can remember telling my parents, I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. And they showed me the very same thing in the Bible that we've shown countless folks, that Christ died for us because He loved us. We couldn't save ourselves. There's no hope in me, especially for salvation. There's no hope in me being good enough to deserve it or me doing good enough to pay for the things I've done wrong. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Did you receive that gift yet? Do you have eternal life? If you have it, you know it. If you don't have it, you could. Because God offers that gift freely. There's no price to pay to obtain it. There's no price to pay to keep it. The Bible says that when He gives us eternal life, it's just that. It's eternal. And it's based on the fact that Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins. And that if we would receive Him, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you never have done that, do it today. Let's all stand and pray.